Andrew Lee Smith. It's a well-known fact that once a person becomes a zombie, they never have another birthday. Partly because zombies don't like cake, but mainly because they're dead. Yesterday, Drew blew out 10 candles. It would be the last cake he ever had. Or would it? Andrew Lee Smith lived with his great Aunt Sadie in a house almost as ancient as she was. It had creaky floors and three giant windows on the back, which looked like eyes and a nose. Not that Drew would know, seeing as how he never went into the backyard. In fact, the last time he saw the outside of the house, he was only 3 years old. It was the day his parents dropped him off at Aunt Sadie's for babysitting. It was also the same day the swarm of mosquitoes came to town. There was something particularly strange about the mosquitoes. Their eyes were glassy, and they held their front legs straight out in front as they flew. Soft moans and drool dribbled from their tiny mosquito lips. And unlike the average mosquito, which is known to be smarter than most people, these ones seemed, well, brain dead. The mosquitoes had a taste for human flesh, especially elbows, and that little place between the big toe and the pointer toe. They also like rabbit, but that's not important to the story. Or is it? The last thing the unsuspecting victims heard was a loud moaning buzz, followed by the gnashing of noses as they poked their way into skin. Pretty soon, 1/4 of the people and 2/3 of the rabbits in town started acting just like the mosquitoes, complete with straight arms, dribbling mouths, and a significant drop in smarts. Drew cried for 3 straight days when Aunt Sadie told him his parents weren't returning. And then he stopped. There's really no point in it anymore. The tears wouldn't bring his parents back. Besides, things could have been worse. It could have been Uncle Jack who babysat that day. He was grouchy and flatulent and lived on a cauliflower farm, which might have explained his first 2 qualities. Drew's practical side decided to make the best of it. His wishful side longed for something different. It wasn't long before Drew forgot about his parents. He wouldn't have remembered what they looked like except for a single photo he kept folded in his shirt pocket. He certainly didn't remember why they disappeared in the first place, or anything about the mosquito swarm. It's not like Aunt Sadie would have told him if he asked. In 7 years, Aunt Sadie rarely said a word. If she did, it was usually to scold Drew for doing things that all boys do. Jumping on the bed, hiding behind the door to see what cat food tastes like, sliding down the stairs on a mattress all the way from the 3rd floor to the basement, sneezing with their eyes open. None of those things were allowed in the house. In fact, she spent most of her day preventing Drew from doing things he liked. She called it keeping him safe. She wasn't a mean person, not as far as great aunts go. She just didn't know what to do with boys, seeing as how she never had any of her own. And she didn't know how to have fun. Her idea of a good time was picking the lint out of her belly button and gluing it to Meowsy the cat, who lost fur as fast as Aunt Sadie's belly button could grow it. That, and making stew out of the wild Brussels sprouts growing in the backyard. Everything else was foolishness and bother to her. Whenever Drew got in trouble, which was all the time, Aunt Sadie made him read. It wouldn't have been so bad, but Aunt Sadie only kept 2 books on her bookshelf, Manners for Boys and Other Hooligans and The Wise Bunny. She said all other books were too dangerous, just like the rest of the world, too dangerous. He figured that was why she never let him go outside, never. Not to swing on the swings or jump in mud puddles with his new shoes or go to school. He didn't even know what a school was. Sure, Aunt Sadie made him learn to read and write and count to 2, but in reality, he spent most of his time staring at the walls, thinking up things to do that hooligans said a boy definitely should never do. One day, he decided to ask Aunt Sadie why he couldn't play in the backyard. "If I let you outside, you'll turn into a zombie," she said. That was her answer to everything. "Why do I have to get up?" he asked, as she dragged him out of bed in the morning. "Boys who sleep too much turn into zombies," she said in that crackly, dry voice of hers. "Why do I have to eat vegetables?" he said, as he rolled a Brussels sprout across the plate with his fork. "If you don't eat your veggies, you'll turn into a zombie." "TV?" he asked. "Zombie." "Music?" "Zombie." "The anti-zombie vaccine?" "Turn you into a zombie right quick." Drew rolled the Brussels sprout onto the floor. It landed beside the cat. Meowsy hissed at it. "I'm not hungry," he said. "Don't you like your dinner?" "It tastes like cat food," he said. Aunt Sadie thought he was being cruel. He wasn't. He was just speaking from experience. She arched an eyebrow and crackled at him. "Well, if you think my food is that bad, then you can just go to bed. Make sure you brush your teeth and wash behind your ears," she added. Drew huffed out the door and climbed the stairs to his bedroom. "I don't know why I have to brush my teeth. It's not like I need teeth to eat the sprouts." He brushed his teeth anyway, but he definitely didn't wash behind his ears. He never washed behind his ears. If he had, he might have found the piece of gum he put there last January. After the half-hearted brushing and a quick growl at the mirror, he headed to bed. His mattress was springy and mushy at the same time. When he flopped onto it, his body bounced twice, then sank. He picked up the Wise Bunny and read the first few lines. The Wise Bunny lived in a burrow made of dirt and cement. He never went outside. He never even poked his head above ground. "It's not safe to go out there," he said. By out there, he meant the place where the coyotes prowl, waiting for a tasty bunny to hop out and eat the carrots and the radishes and the cheese doodles that fall off the truck. Drew threw the book at the bedside table. It slid across the top and thudded to the floor. He crossed his arms and made an angry face. The picture on the cover stared up at the face it had seen 100 times before. The Wise Bunny seemed to shake its head and say, "Don't do it." "If I want to do it, then I will," Drew protested. A breeze blew through the cracks in the walls and flipped one page of the book. Now the bunny's lips whispered, "If you go, you will get hurt." The voice in his head changed into a dry crackle, "And you will become a zombie." "What's the big deal with becoming a zombie?" Drew said to the Wise Bunny. "I don't even know what a zombie is. All I know is Aunt Sadie says it's the worst thing ever. But she thinks Brussels sprouts and brushing your teeth and washing behind your ears are good. I'm not sure I can trust her judgment. On the other hand, she does hate cauliflower. But being right about one thing doesn't make up for the rest of the wrongs." Drew looked towards his closet, then at the book. At the closet, at the book, then at the clock. It said 6:59. He listened quietly. A minute later, he heard a faint chime coming from downstairs. After the 7th chime, Aunt Sadie's bedroom door clicked shut. Next came brushing, followed by the sparkling of freshly polished ears. Soon, all was still. Drew waited until 7:30 to make sure Aunt Sadie was sound asleep. He tossed the covers to one side of the bed and tiptoed across the floor. Opening the closet, he pulled out a little bundle tied to the end of a stick. Inside the bundle was a pair of socks, meatballs saved from Sunday dinner, they were green by now, 2 sticks of gum, a tiny bottle of Zombie Be Gone mouthwash, and the wrinkly, crinkly picture of his mom and dad. He peeked out the bedroom door. There was no light and no sound except for a strange moaning which always came from outside. His toes tipped down the stairs, forgetting to step over the 5th one, which made a wheezing groan. He froze. A mumbled, "If you do, the zombies will get you," came out of Aunt Sadie's room, but was quickly replaced by the roar of what was either a sputtering lawnmower or Aunt Sadie snoring. The trek downstairs continued. When he got to the 1st floor, he froze again. Not because he was having second thoughts, but because he couldn't decide which way to go. He had never made it this far before, usually stopping on the landing of the 2nd floor and rushing back into bed. There's no turning back this time, though. He was determined to go through with it. The only decision was, should he go out the front door and follow the radish truck, or should he head into the woods out back, which stood tall and dark like sentries guarding a haunted castle? Radishes or haunted castle? Haunted castle or radishes? The choice was easy. The back door creaked open, and Drew stepped outside for the first time in nearly 7 years.